So wonderfully simple, isn't it? We've got the Word of God in our hands. And so to piggyback on that, I thought it would be really fun to just look at some things in the Word of God. And I entitled it, God Really Did That. So we're going to look at some stuff that God really did. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 31. Right, so God wrote this Word of God. He's the author of it. These are His words, and they're pure, so they're true. So when we look at this stuff in the Word of God, we have to imagine it like it really happened. Not like it's just a story or a fairy tale, but that it's true and that it really happened. Exodus 12, verse 31. Okay, so this is just after the 10 plagues that plagued Egypt while the children of God, Israel, were enslaved. It says, and he being Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. Get out of here, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And take all your stuff with you. I don't want it. All right? Because they had been plagued by these 10 plagues, and now they were getting rid of the children of Israel. Right? Pharaoh's heart had been hardened each time until he finally let God's people go. Verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men, right? The final plague was that the firstborn of every family was killed, right? So they were like, okay, get out of here, unless we all die. Verse 34, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed. And the word borrowed there is not the borrow that we think of. It is the Hebrew word for to inquire, to request, or to demand. Okay? And so they requested or demanded of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and clothing. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent, and again, it's more the word granted, as in granted their request, unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled or plundered or stripped away the Egyptians. So God did that for them, right? God made it so that when they were exiting Egypt, they were slaves. Slaves don't have a lot, right? On their way out, they demanded jewels and silver and gold and clothes, and they were gladly given all of those provisions on their way out of being slaves. Pretty cool, right? They left with great abundance. Go to Psalm 105. Verse 37. So God worked in the situation not only so that they would be set free, which is pretty awesome. If you are enslaved and then to be set free is great deliverance. But as part of their deliverance, that they left with great abundance. And they stripped or spoiled the Egyptians on their way out. Psalm 105, verse 37 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, referring to this incident. And there was not one feeble person among their what? Tribes. So not only did they leave with great abundance and prosperity, there was not a single person in that Exodus who was weak or feeble, right? They were healthy and strong on their way out of being overworked slaves. That's pretty incredible. And God did that because he wants his people to be healthy and to be prosperous, right? That's God's will for his people's lives, that they be healthy and that they be prosperous. So God really did that. Go to Exodus 13. Exodus 13, verse 17. Normally, slaves aren't let go in the first place. They're certainly not let go with their master's jewels and silver and clothing. But God did that for his people. Exodus 13, 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. So if you look at a map, Egypt is sort of at the top of Africa, right below the Mediterranean Sea, and where they were going was around the Mediterranean Sea up to the area of Canaan, which is now known as Israel. And to go through there, they would have had to go through the land of the Philistines, right, along the coast. But it said that they didn't go through there, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt, right? The Philistines were a warring people. And God was like, if I send them through there, they're going to turn tail and run back to Egypt. So that's not the way they went. Verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Okay? So the way through the Philistines had roads, as we know them. Known paths, trails, if you will. A way to go. Does the wilderness have a way to go? No, that is what makes it a wilderness. By definition, it is wild. It is uncharted. It is unpaved. He led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. They headed south. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by night, day and night, right? So at this point, Israel had lived in Egypt for hundreds of years. They were enslaved there. It's not like they just, you know, took a trip over there and knew their way back. They didn't know where to go. They didn't have GPS, right? They didn't have their phones on them or a nice little Garmin. They didn't go the proven way through the Philistines. They had to go through the wilderness. And so God led them each day and each night with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of smoke to show them where to go. So up ahead of them was this moving pillar of cloud and fire each night to show them where to go, right? So that the children of Israel would know how to get home, right? And God wants to direct us, right? He wants to show us the way. He doesn't want us to be lost or confused. So God really did that. Exodus 14, verse 19. The Egyptians suddenly have a change of heart and pursue after the Israelites, realizing they just gave up their giant labor force. They want their slaves back. So they come after them. Verse 19, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So this pillar of cloud that they were following moves to the back of the camp. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all night. So whenever they were getting close to them, to come upon them, the cloud would move and keep them separated. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So God really did that. He really divided a sea so that the children of Israel could pass through it. And it takes a lot to dry up the bottom of a sea. It's not like they walked across on swampy ground. It says they walked across on dry land. Right? This is what God did for his people. He did this to protect his people from danger. God will protect you from danger, right? God will watch over you and keep you safe. He kept the pursuing Egyptians away and then opened a way for his people. God really did that. Go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 6. So they're still headed to the promised land. And they get there. They get to Canaan. Canaan's happy land. And there's a fortress of a city there. Okay? Jericho, a mighty fortified city, stands in their way. Joshua 6:15, God provides a way for them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed or walked around the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day, they walked around the city seven times. So they did it once a day for the previous 6 days, and on the seventh day they did it seven times. So every day they would walk around this fortified city. And it came to pass that the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are within her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they what? Took the city. Took the city. They didn't have to besiege it. They didn't have to get out large battering rams or anything to break down the walls. God simply told them, march around it, and on the seventh day, do this, shout, and I will take care of it for you, right? So God fought their battles. God made a way for them to win the unwinnable, right? He gave them the city. God really did that. Those walls fell down flat because they did what God told them to do. Not because they had bulldozers, not because they had big machines, but because they walked around and did what God told them to do. And then the walls fell down. That's kind of crazy. But God really did that. Go to chapter 24. Verse 11. That wasn't the only people in the land that they had to fight against. They had to fight many fights. But here in Joshua 24, it talks about that. Joshua 24:11, "And you went over Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I, God, delivered them into your hand. God was the one who fought for them. Verse 12, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy what? Bow. Did they have to fight the fight? Did they have to take up weapons? No. It was a land that flowed with milk and what?
Honey.
And where does honey come from?
Bees.
And what did God fight the armies with? Bees. Bees. He sent the hornets out to drive away the armies. You ever sit down to a picnic lunch and a bee comes over and lands near you and starts buzzing around your food? You want to get the heck out of there. Imagine if there were swarms of them. That's what God did. God really did that. He fought their battles for them to keep them safe and to provide prosperity. Verse 13. I have given you a land for which you did not work or labor, and cities which you didn't build, and you dwell in them, of vineyards and olive yards which you planted not. You didn't plant them, and yet you eat. Right? God provided all of that for them. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. God did that for them so that they could serve him and worship him, so that they could have a prosperous, easy life to fellowship with God, right? God did that so they could just chill and love God, right? Because he cared about them. He wanted them to be at ease. Go to 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6, verse 4. So God really did that. Second Kings 6, verse 4. So he, this is Elisha, the prophet, he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. They were going to build a nice little dwelling place there, him and the prophet's sons. But as one was felling a beam, chopping down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, oh no, for it was borrowed. That axe was my buddy's. I borrowed it. Right? And that was a big deal, because if you borrowed something from someone else, it was your responsibility to return it, right? It was really kind of a dishonorable thing to not be able to return it. So it was a big deal. And the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. He threw it near where the axe head fell. And the iron did what? Swim, which means it floated. And I don't know if you know anything about iron, but it does not float. It doesn't. But it was that simple. God did that just to bless this guy, just to take care of his heart, right? Just to make sure he was okay. And God does all kinds of cool stuff for us just to bless us, right? He feeds Elijah by ravens during a drought. He multiplies a widow's woman's oil so she can pay her debts and survive. He delivers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the burning fiery furnace. He keeps Daniel safe in the lion's den. He rescues a dead Jonah with a fish and then raises him from the dead. Why? So that he can go speak the word to Nineveh, right? God does all kinds of cool stuff for his people, just to bless them and to make sure that they can worship him and love him and do his word, right? God really does all that stuff.